Thank you. ushers have run out of bulletins. Isn't that a good thing? If you don't have one, you might look to a neighbor who has a couple extra or a family that could share and just share those bulletins around then with those who need them tonight, and we'll all be able to follow the service. Let's be called to worship on this wonderful, holy night. On this Christmas Eve, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ with songs of praise like the angels in love and worship. On this Christmas Eve tonight, we remember the prophecy, promise, and fulfillment that occurred through the birth of Jesus Christ. We recall that shepherds who heard the wonderful news and saw the sign of the star signaling the birth of Jesus and set out to see this miracle for themselves. We remember Mary, who kept all things promised and fulfilled regarding the birth of Jesus tucked away in her heart. And so now tonight, with the angels, with Mary, with Joseph, with all of those who were at the first Christmas, let us keep our eyes and minds fixed on the great goal of life expressed in the prophecy, promise, and fulfillment brought forth through the birth of Jesus Christ. Let us celebrate in our acts of love and adoration, giving God all the praise and glory on this wonderful night together. We begin by joining in worship. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, may we rise and sing hymn, O come, all ye faithful, in your bulletin. Now, in one voice together, let us make our prayer of confession. Lord God, we praise you for sending light into this world. We confess that we live as though the light had never defeated darkness. We confess that we ignore the Savior you sent to be among us and to live in us. We've kept the birth of your Son confined to the Christmas season, and do not yearn for his coming each moment in our waiting hearts. Forgive us for not opening our eyes to Jesus. Prepare us for his return. Help us rejoice in the light so that your grace can illuminate the darkened places of our hearts. Amen. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let us make profession of what we believe with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. On this Christmas Eve, let us join our hearts and our thoughts together as we lift up to God our prayer for this night. O God, in the emptiness of our lives, may we be filled with your glory. In the silences of our hearts, may they be filled with your songs. In the watchfulness of our eyes, may they be opened to wonder and miracle. Oh God, we come to you this night in thankfulness and in joy, in great hopes for all that may come upon the world and our lives. Still filled with wonder and awe of all of the Christmases past, and knowing that this Christmas now will be filled with your presence, your sparkling power, your majesty and wonder. But even as we open our lives and celebrate all that is wonderful and good, we lift up in prayer tonight those for whom life is difficult. For all around us and near us are the lonely and the hurting, the hungry and the homeless, the sick and the dispossessed. And, O God, we know that your heart has always been nearest to those who are poor in spirit and least likely to be thought of as people touched by your grace. And so we pray for those tonight whose lives are difficult. And we name one or two in our hearts now. Oh God, this night we remember how you came in Christ in this birth to live among us in the flesh. And we celebrate that moment long ago, which lives forever in the hearts of those who believe. And we long for your fullness in our lives. We long for it. We yearn for it. We reach out tonight and grasp for it, that we too might be enfleshed with your goodness and love, that Christ might be present and alive in us this night and all the days ahead. And so we ask for this blessing and for your blessing upon your church, that your people everywhere, here and everywhere, will be food for the hungry and hope for those who are lost and alone, a living testament of Christ's faithfulness to you. So, O God, on this Christmas Eve, our prayer is simply this: pour out your Spirit upon us once again, that we, your people, might continue in our lives the ministry of Christmas. Let your Son Jesus become flesh in us, so that we may reveal you to our world. Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Be born in us now, as we follow you in the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught his followers to say: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
prayer. Sherman's prayer. She was five, sure of the facts, and recited them with slow solemnity, convinced every word was revelation. She said they were so poor, they had only peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to eat, and they went a long way from home without getting lost. The lady rode a donkey, the man walked, and the baby was inside the lady. They had to stay in a stable with an ox and an ass, but the three rich men found them because a star lighted the roof. Shepherds came, and you could pet the sheep, but not feed them. Then the baby was born. And do you know who he was? Her quarter eyes inflated silver dollars. The baby was God. And she jumped in the air and whirled round and dove into the sofa and buried her head under the cushion, which is the only proper response to the good news of the Incarnation. I'm reading two selections by Anne Weems. The first is Boxed. I must admit to a certain guilt about stuffing the Holy Family into a box in the aftermath of Christmas. It's frankly a time of personal triumph when, each Advent Eve, I free them, and the others, from a year's imprisonment boxed in the dark of our basement. Out they come, one by one, struggling through the straw, last year's tinsel still clinging to their robes. Nevertheless, they appear, ready to take their place again in the light of another Christmas. The child is first, because he's the one I'm most reluctant to box. Attached forever to his cradle, he emerges, apparently unscathed from the time spent upside down to avoid the crush of the lid. His mother, dressed eternally in blue, still gazes adoringly, in spite of the fact that her features are somewhat smudged. Joseph has stood for 11 months, holding valiantly what's left of his staff, broken 20 Christmases ago by a child who hugged a little too tightly. The wise ones still travel, though not so elegantly, the standing camel having lost its back leg and the sitting camel having lost its one ear. However, gifts intact, they're ready to move. The shepherds, walking or kneeling, sometimes confused with Joseph, who wears the same dull brown, tumble forth, followed by three sheep in very bad repair. There they are again. Not a grand set, surely, but one the children and now the grandchildren can touch and move about to reenact that silent night. When the others return, we'll wind the music box on the back of the stable and light the Advent candles and go once more to Bethlehem. And this year, when it's time to pack the figures away, we'll be more careful that the peace and goodwill are not also boxed for another year. and finally, also by Anne Weems. It's not over. It's not over, this birthing. There are always newer skies into which God can throw stars. When we begin to think that we can predict the advent of God, that we can box the Christ in a stable in Bethlehem, that's just the time that God will be born in a place we can't imagine and won't believe. Those who wait for God watch with their hearts and not their eyes. Listening, always listening for angel words.
And now with joy and gladness, let us bring our gifts.
Following a star so bright came the wise men three that night on their journey toward the light, bringing gifts to Jesus. To a stable forth they sped, to a lowly manger bed, by the starlight where they led, bringing gifts to Jesus. Mary to bring gifts so fine to our Savior, so divine. All we have, both yours and mine, offer now to Jesus.
Goodness and grace, is all around us this night. And the smells and the colors of the season, of the voices and songs of children, the smiles of friends and neighbors, the goodness of your earth, the glory of your heaven, everything around us declares your goodness. And so with joy and thanksgiving and wonder, we bring our gifts to celebrate this wonderful night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Advent Journal, as we light the Christ candle, welcoming the one promised in Scripture.
He is called Emmanuel, God with us.
We celebrate the hope brought to the earth by our wonderful counselor.
He is called Emmanuel, God with us.
We rejoice in the strength and the power of the Mighty One.
He is called Emmanuel.
We sing of peace on earth and goodwill to all people.
He is called Emmanuel, God with us.
And we lift our hearts in praise to everlasting Father.
He is called Emmanuel, God with us. Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Tonight, we light the candles as we celebrate the birth of Christ, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. As the light from these candles fill the room, we light the Christ candle, welcoming the newborn King, the one who is Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, God with us. Let us pray. Glorious Lord, throughout this Advent season, we have come to know you by many names. Tonight we celebrate your birth and thank you for being our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Remind us that no matter where we are or where we've been, you are with us. We gather in the glory of this night to welcome you as Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. We pray that this is the wonderful name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Candle. Today, or really not today, at midnight tonight, starts a wonderful 33-year journey. And I'm sure we all know what journey that it's going to be. The Christ who's born after midnight tonight is going to have a 33-year journey that's going to save us all. Isn't that a marvelous thing? So today I'm going to read to you from Luke 2, chapters 1 through 14.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to the firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." That is the reading of the Lord.
Some years ago now, my family and I made what was then our annual trip to my hometown, small town in Missouri. At the end of our visit, there was a parade, a festival in the town. You know what I mean? Where they block off Main Street and the vendors sell stuff to eat and the bands march down the street and everybody has a good time. And it was a lovely summer day and we had a great time. And then it was time for us to leave. We had a dog and two little kids. And so my wife said, it's time to go home to Indiana. We better get going. I said, okay, let's go. I think we might need some cash, she said. No problem, I said. Across the street there is a bank. I'll cash a check. Now, my wife is from New Jersey. You have to remember this. This is an important part of the story. She said to me, you can't walk into a bank and cash a check. And I said, watch me. This bank happened to be a short block from the house I was born in. My family has been in that county from before Missouri was a state. I took an account out, a savings account out in that bank when I was 9 years old. Watch me. So I went into the bank and I walked up to the teller and I said, I've got an out-of-town check. We don't live here. Can you cash my check? I used to live here. And she said, oh, well, in that case. And then she looked at the check and she said, Clifton. Yeah. Are you any relation to Mark Clifton? Oh, yes, he's my cousin. Oh, you don't say. Why, he's my son's best friend. Oh, really, I said. Well, then, do you know, I said, Dorothy and Russell, his parents? Oh, of course I do. Good people. Oh, yes, they are. My favorite uncle, I said. We went on like this for about 5 minutes, and my wife is standing behind me, just shaking her head. We don't do things like that in New Jersey, she was thinking. After conversation was about over, she looked at me and said, well, Mr. Clifton, how much would you like to cash this check for? My wife needed to learn the customs and how you do things. She hadn't learned yet how life works in a small Missouri town. Now, I tell you that story tonight because I think that if we would read the Christmas story in light of Joseph going back home, where everybody knew him, that the story just might sound a little bit different than the way we usually read it. First of all, it would have been absurd, unthinkable, for Joseph to have been turned away with his pregnant wife because there was no room for them in an inn. Unthinkable that that would happen. Part of our problem is that the translators have probably chosen the wrong word for inn. It was not an inn like a motel. That word does appear in the story of the Good Samaritan. That is not the word here. It was probably a house which had two floors. It had a top floor where the guests and others might sleep for the night. And there was no room on the top floor of the house. There was no room there. So they were placed on the ground floor. And the house would probably, now I'm using my imagination, this cannot be proven or disproven, but I like to use my imagination when I read the Bible. This is Joseph's hometown. Others have come in. His cousins are there. His friends are there. People who knew his father were there. He was back home in a small Missouri town, don't you hear? And so the house was filled with people. And Joseph and Mary were on the first floor where they brought the animals in at night. And during the night, there was a birth. Now, I can imagine that this was not a lonely birth. There were women running around like women do when a baby's born, and all of the men were telling jokes and smoking cigars. And finally, when the baby was born, Joseph's cousin slapped him on the back and said, "Congratulations, you've got a boy." There are other things in the story that might be a little bit different from the way we have heard them as well. Shepherds show up. Now, every time I hear the Christmas story, I want to think of little 10-year-old boys in bathrobes marching down the church aisle, and they're the shepherds that come to the birth of Jesus. Shepherds didn't look anything like that. First of all, you could smell them before you saw them. And they had the worst reputation of anyone in the community. Everyone knew that they were thieves, that they were no good. They never went to church. You never saw a shepherd in church on Sunday morning, or on Christmas Eve, or an Easter, or a baptism, or a wedding. They did not show up with the good people. So change your paradigm. Use your imagination. Work with me here a little bit. Just about the time Jesus is born, 12 Hell's Angels in loud motorcycles come roaring into the front yard. These guys are big, and they're ugly, and they're wearing t-shirts. Now, I'm describing Hell's Angels. I don't know. This is how I think about them. I may be completely wrong, okay? But this is how I have them in my mind, all right? They're wearing t-shirts, and it's 10 above zero, and they're not even cold. And the story says, when they showed up and told what had happened in the fields, what does it say? Everybody was astonished. Well, of course they were astonished. These shepherds are not even allowed to give witness in a court of law. And here they're giving witness to the birth of the Savior of the world. God chose these people to be the first witnesses. And then they get out on their motorcycles, and they're Pentecostals now. They're shouting, they're raising their arms, they're praising Jesus. They're speaking in tongues, they're glorifying God as they take off on their motorcycles back to their fields. You get the picture? It's an amazing night. And then, of course, Matthew has to tell us that not long after Jesus was born, they become a refugee family. An angry tyrant decides to kill all of the children under 2 years old. And Joseph and Mary and Jesus head out across a barren landscape alone, fleeing for their lives, hoping that there might be in this world some people out there who will show kindness to them and generosity and hospitality and welcome. We know something about refugees, don't we, in our day? We know something about them. Did you know that there are 34,000 new refugees every day? 65 million people all across the world, like Jesus and Joseph and Mary, will there be hospitality this night? Will there be a welcome? Will there be a place for us tonight? I wonder if it's possible that we can even come to Bethlehem tonight and not be connected, you see, connected to the refugee families of the world. Be connected to all of God's people everywhere, mothers and fathers and children, the old, wandering across the earth, like Mary and Joseph. I recall reading an article on preaching one time where the writer said that when the preacher preaches a good sermon, that the people walk out thinking to themselves, you know, I had no idea it was like that. I had no idea that shepherds were actually hell's angels. I had no idea that hundreds of thousands of refugee children on rafts and leaky boats and tents wandering across landscape, that these children are the brothers and sisters of our Christ. I had no idea. You see, Christmas is a connecting event. A connecting event. We get reconnected on Christmas. Our world becomes bigger. This little world that we live in all of a sudden enlarges, and we see how big it is and how great God's plan and how we are a part of that. And our hearts are, they start to beat stronger and they become larger. The shepherds and the outcasts seem to find a way in. The refugees, the lost, and the homeless find their way in to this larger heart, this larger mind that we get at Christmas time. Barbara Brown Taylor is one of my favorites. You probably don't know her name, but she is one of my favorites. She's a favorite preacher of mine, a favorite writer. I had the privilege of hosting her for a dinner one night. I was the host. And you know, sometimes you meet famous people, they don't live up to their press releases. They're really arrogant or snotty or something. They're not like, you know, the public thinks they are. Not Barbara Brown Taylor. She's as good as they come. They don't come any better than she. She's a Christmas present to me every time. One of her stories that she tells is a story about her first year at Yale Divinity School. She was a first-year student there in New Haven. And she describes that year as a tremendous challenge for her. She was a long way from home. She was homesick, terribly lonely. Have you ever felt that way? Now, sometimes you can think about what that means. You've been there. We've all been there. But she says the worst part of it was that she didn't really know why she was there. She was there as a seminary student, but she didn't really know why. What was the purpose? What was her life supposed to be anyway? And she said she was desperate for an answer. Well, next to the campus, there up on the hill, was a gigantic, abandoned Victorian house. Huge Victorian house. And it had been abandoned for years and years, and all across were signs that said, no trespassing and all that kind of stuff. And there was a fire escape that went up all the way to the top. And Barbara Brown Taylor got the bright idea. We get these ideas. We don't know where they come from. But she got this idea that if she could just climb up that fire escape and pray up there really high, that God would tell her what she's supposed to do with her life. So on one full moon night, choking back her fear, scared to death of heights, she made her way all the way to the top of the abandoned Victorian mansion. She said it was beautiful once she got there. She could see all the way to Long Island Sound. She could see the lights of the cities beneath her. She said it was lovely. And then she began her prayer. And when she finished, she thought, that's a pretty good prayer. And she waited. And there was no answer. So she decided that she would pray again. And she prayed another prayer. And she waited. And there was no answer. She said, about this time she was getting angry. She wanted God to tell her, what am I supposed to do with my life? And then she says that she began to sing. And she said it was sort of a mix between plain song and the sound of a dog when the siren goes off and a dog begins to howl. I understand that. That's the way I sing. And as she sang, she got an answer. She said, God didn't speak audibly, but she got an answer. What it was a conviction in her heart. And the conviction was that she was loved. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter whether she went to Pago, become a minister and clean latrines, she said. I like that. It didn't matter whether she became a teacher or a gas station attendant or whatever. It didn't make any difference. She was loved. And all she really had to do with her life was love back. Love God back. And love the people in her life back. Now I know that sometimes that gets complicated. But the conviction that is what we are here for. To love God and to love each other the best we can. That conviction is as simple as a baby in a mother's arms, sleeping in a manger. Amen. The service now will continue without my announcement until the benediction, as we light the candles, as we sing our carol, as we pray in silence, as we sing Joy to the World. thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for all who worked to make this a lovely evening, our musicians, choir, ushers, everyone who had a part of bringing us together. Thanks for those who lighted the Christ candle. It was sort of like giving birth to a child. I thought, that's what it must be like. It takes some effort to get it into the world. We do have a service here tomorrow. No preaching. Come casual. We'll sing some carols. We'll give some prayers. We'll wish each other a Merry Christmas. Service about 35 or 40 minutes. We'd like for you to come and join us then if you can. Now please receive this blessing, this benediction as we go. Dear friends, unto us has been born a Savior, Christ the Lord. Unto us we have the promise of new life in Christ. Unto us we have the hope of salvation and the promise of life eternal. Unto us we are challenged to live and grow in new ways, to seek justice, and to become peacemakers in the path of the Prince of Peace. Unto us a child has been born, a son given, and authority rests on his shoulders. So now, let us follow the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ, as we look to the future with joy and hope. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the friendship and power of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.